artificial intelligence. It's everywhere you look now, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Not just in the sci-fi movies anymore, but like genuinely shifting from this niche tech thing to, well, core business imperative.
Yeah.
But for organizations, I mean, the big question is still, how do you actually do it? How do you get past the pilots, the buzzwords, and really embed AI for,
Yeah.
sustained advantage?
That's the journey, right? So many companies are on it now, and it's anything but simple. It takes a fundamentally different approach than just, say, adopting a new software tool. AI needs to become part of the fabric of the organization, a systematic engine for growth, for efficiency.
And that's exactly the landscape we're trying to navigate in this deep dive. We've been digging into a specific blueprint, a guide that kind of outlines how these high-performing organizations are making the transition. Think of it as getting the essential playbook, pulling together the key insights, the practical steps, so you get the core strategies without having to wade through the whole thing yourself.
Yeah. And our mission here is really to unpack that blueprint for you. We want to pull out the most important nuggets, the frameworks, the practical advice, the things companies are actually doing that work.
Yeah, exactly. And look, no matter where you sit, maybe you're trying to understand your own company's AI strategy, or you've got a big meeting coming up, or maybe you're just fascinated by how businesses are moving past the headlines. This deep dive, it's designed to give you concrete examples, frameworks.
Right.
It's about cutting through all that hype and getting to the practical reality of what enterprise AI really looks like today.
It's about understanding the mechanics, the things driving real value, not just the potential buzz.
Okay, let's unpack this then. The blueprint kicks off by really hammering home why. Why AI transformation is happening now, and why it's pretty much non-negotiable. It points to a few fundamental shifts. What are the big drivers they highlight?
Well, it really boils down to three main pressures. First, just the sheer volatility, the macro economy. We're seeing these rapid supply shocks, price swings, unpredictable regulatory changes. These aren't business as usual conditions. They demand an ability to sense and respond almost in real time.
Which is incredibly hard for humans alone.
Exactly. You just can't manually model every single possibility when things are changing that fast. Second, consumer impatience. It's just hit a whole new level.
Right.
Click, ship, same day. That's not just for the disruptors anymore, right? It's becoming table stakes. Any friction, any delay in that customer journey, it gets punished. AI can help smooth that out.
Streamline things. And the third driver they mentioned is that exponential data growth, the data deluge.
It's staggering, really. Estimates suggest something like 90% of the world's data was created in just the last couple of years.
Wow.
And most of it's just sitting there, unanalyzed. So if you can't get insights and drive action from that sheer volume and variety, well, you're leaving massive opportunities on the table or exposing yourself to risks.
And competitors using machines will capture those.
They will. So the blueprint frames it pretty starkly. The choice is basically build the capability to sense, learn, and act at scale using AI, or, risk being outpaced. It's not just the competitive edge anymore. It's becoming about survival.
That's the core message then.
That's it. And they back this up with tangible examples, real bottom line impacts AI is already having. Think about predictive demand planning in retail or CPG. Companies are seeing forecast error reductions of 15%, maybe up to 50%. That's a massive cut in waste or lost sales.
That is huge. Fewer goods sitting around, fewer stockouts.
Or dynamic pricing. Think travel, e-commerce, using AI to adjust prices in real time based on demand, competitor moves, inventory levels. Companies are seeing gross margin boosts of like 3 to 9%.
So directly hitting the bottom line,
Yeah.
profitability.
Absolutely. And in financial services, maybe media. Hyper-personalized marketing driven by AI insights. That can lift conversion rates 5 to 15%. These aren't just, theoretical ideas. They're proven results.
It really sounds like the guide emphasizes that the why isn't just about cool tech. It's deeply rooted in solving current pressing business problems and grabbing these quantifiable financial opportunities.
Exactly.
That's a critical point for anyone trying to make the case for AI investment inside their own place.
Right. And once you're clear on the why, the blueprint then shifts to what's absolutely crucial, defining your North Star vision. It really stresses you need this clear story, this narrative about where you're going with AI before you start coding or hiring.
A strategic direction first.
Okay.
It outlines a four-step process for getting there.
Yeah. Step one, Anchor everything on your core strategic goals. Is the main driver revenue growth, cost reduction, maybe risk mitigation? You've got to be specific because that shapes everything else.
Makes sense.
Step two, this is where you get granular. Co-create these use case backlogs across different departments, marketing, ops, HR, finance. Get everyone thinking about problems AI could solve in their world.
Which is vital, right? Because the best ideas often come from within those business units.
Absolutely. Step three is then scoring these potential use cases. You need some kind of framework to look at them based on potential value and feasibility. How likely is it we can actually do this?
Ah, right.
This helps you find those initial quick wins, things that can show value early and build momentum.
So you're not just chasing the flashiest idea, but finding something achievable that delivers real impact quickly.
Precisely. And step four is packaging all of that into a concise, measurable North Star statement. The guide gives a really good example. We will boost EBITDA by 6% in 24 months through AI-powered decisions in supply chain, pricing, and customer care.
Wow, that's incredibly clear. It's not vague tech talk. It's a business outcome.
Exactly. And a practical tip they mention is running an AI Canvas workshop. It's basically a structured way to map your existing data assets to potential profit drivers. Helps business leaders really see the connection.
Between the data they have and the value they could unlock. That sounds like a great way to bridge that gap between data teams and the business side. Get everyone aligned.
Yeah. This whole section seems designed to stop organizations from just, you know, randomly dabbling in AI projects. It forces that strategic focus.
Okay, but all this strategy, all these use cases,
yeah,
they mean nothing if the AI models don't have the right fuel.
Exactly. The blueprint uses that Ferrari analogy, right?
Okay.
Doesn't matter how powerful the engine is if you put muddy fuel in the tank.
Right.
For AI, that fuel is data.
Dirty data tanks your models. Mm-hmm. So the guide details four essential pillars of data quality. What are they?
Okay, first, accuracy. Simple question. Is the data right? You need systems to validate it, flag anomalies automatically. Second, completeness. Are there gaps? Models hate missing info.
Yeah.
So you need ways to mine the gaps, make sure data sets are complete enough for whatever you're trying to do.
Timeliness is crucial too, right? Data that's days old might be useless for real-time stuff.
Absolutely critical. You need data flowing quickly, maybe streaming into something like a lakehouse in minutes, not waiting for overnight batch jobs. And fourth, consistency. Is the data saying the same thing everywhere?
Yep.
You need that golden record, one master version for key things, not five conflicting records for the same customer scattered across systems.
Like having five different addresses for one person.
Ugh.
Nightmare.
Total nightmare. The blueprint also touches on architecture choices for managing this data. Whether you go for, say, a centralized lakehouse, which kind of merges data lakes and warehouses,
yeah,
letting you query raw and structured data reliably.
So you get reliability, like ACD transactions, but flexibility too.
Right. Or maybe a data mesh approach, where domain teams own their data pipelines more, but a central platform provides infrastructure and governance.
Giving teams autonomy, but keeping standards. Got it?
Yeah. Whichever way you go, the guide really emphasizes the non-negotiable roles of data stewards, people responsible for specific data domains, and baking in automated metadata lineage tracking.
Why is that lineage tracking so important? It sounds technical.
Well, it's about knowing where your data came from, how it was transformed, how it's being used. It's crucial for troubleshooting if a model goes weird, sure, but it's increasingly vital for compliance. Regulators want to know exactly where the data for an AI decision originated.
Okay. Trustworthiness, accountability. It really drives home that data work isn't just boring prep. It's absolutely fundamental to getting any AI value.
Totally. And moving beyond that initial data setup, the blueprint makes a really strong case that succeeding with AI isn't a one-off project. It demands continuous innovation. It has to become like a weekly habit, not some big annual push.
Right. This is where they talk about building flywheels in the organization. What are these key flywheels?
Yeah, these high-velocity organizations, they embed three interconnected flywheels. First is the DevOps flywheel. Every time a developer commits code, it kicks off automated processes for faster, safer releases. For AI, that means getting model updates out quickly.
Shifting deployment from months to maybe minutes.
Precisely. Second, the data ops flywheel. A new data source comes online. The process to ingest it, clean it, make it available for analysis, that should be automated, self-service, no waiting weeks for some ETL job.
So data becomes usable much, much faster.
Exactly. And third, The MLOps flywheel, this is specific to machine learning. It means when a deployed model's performance starts to degrade, you know, model drift, the system can automatically kick off retraining or updates.
Without someone needing to manually intervene every time.
Right. It's about building systems that learn and adapt continuously. The guide lists practical steps too, like piloting new AI models in shadow mode, where the AI makes recommendations, but a human still makes the final call. It's a smart way to test and build confidence without full risk.
Ah, okay. De-risks the initial launch.
Totally. They also suggest fostering a sharing culture with things like demo days. Let teams show their work, even the stuff that didn't quite work out. It encourages learning from failure.
Normalizes experimentation, yeah.
And budgeting something like a 10% exploration tax, giving engineers dedicated time, maybe a few hours a week, to just explore innovative, maybe even moonshot ideas not tied to immediate deadlines.
Huh, that's interesting. Carving out specific time for that unstructured innovation. It sounds like this section is really hitting on the people and process side being just as crucial as the tech.
Yeah.
Building that culture.
Absolutely. Now, you don't need a PhD to grasp the basic tools AI uses. The blueprint gives this helpful manager's field guide to algorithms, simplifies them into three main species.
Okay, three species. Let's break those down. What's number one?
First is supervised learning. Think of this as teaching the AI with examples. You give it data that already includes the answer you want it to predict, like transactions labeled fraud or customers labeled churned.
Mm-hmm.
The model learns the patterns leading to those labels, then predicts the outcome on new data it hasn't seen the labels for.
Got it. So you're supervising by providing the right answers up front. What kind of problems does this tackle?
Oh, common stuff. Fraud detection, predicting customer churn, loan risk, image classification. The guide mentions potential impacts like, say, cutting losses by 30% with these models.
Okay, makes sense. What's the second species?
Unsupervised learning. This is when you don't have those predefined labels or answers. The goal is for the AI to find hidden patterns, structures, relationships within the data all by itself.
So it's exploring the data without being told specifically what to look for.
Exactly. This gets used for things like segmenting customers into groups based on behavior, finding anomalies, maybe a security breach or a manufacturing defect, or clustering documents by topic. They suggest potential gains like a 12% uplift in upsell from better customer segmentation.
Finding structure in the chaos.
Okay. Great.
And the third species?
Reinforcement learning. This one's about training an AI agent to make a sequence of decisions in some environment to hit a specific goal. It learns by trial and error, getting rewards for good actions, penalties for bad ones.
Like teaching a robot to walk by, rewarding forward movement and penalizing falling.
Precisely that. This is really powerful for optimizing dynamic systems. Think inventory management, controlling robots, optimizing logistics routes, managing energy grids. They mention potential impacts like cutting cycle times by 20%.
That's a great simple framework. And the guide has an interesting rule of thumb here too, doesn't it?
Yes, a really crucial one. They reckon about 70% of the actual ROI companies get from AI often comes from what they call boring, well-tuned models.
Boring models.
Yeah, basically getting the fundamentals of supervised and unsupervised learning right on clean data. Not necessarily the super complex, cutting-edge, deep learning stuff you always read about.
That's a fantastic point. It suggests you don't need to start with the absolute most complex tech to get real value. Solid implementation of established methods is often where the big wins are.
Definitely. Now, as organizations adopt AI more widely, leaders inevitably hit these tricky strategic choices. The blueprint outlines five classic tensions or trade-offs that executives have to navigate.
Okay, these are the big forks in the road. What are they?
First up, build versus buy. Do you build your AI capabilities in-house? That can give you unique advantages, but it's slow, resource-intensive. Or do you buy off-the-shelf solutions? Faster, but maybe less tailored. The guide suggests the sweet spot is often a hybrid. License core platforms or generic models, but build your proprietary layers, your unique models on top.
So you're not reinventing the wheel, but you're adding your own secret sauce.
Exactly. Then there's centralized versus federate. Should AI expertise live in a central center of excellence or be pushed out into the business units? Speed versus quality. How much risk are you willing to accept for faster deployment? Automation versus jobs. How do you handle the workforce transition as AI takes over tasks?
Those last two. Speed versus quality and automation versus jobs. They feel particularly tough.
They really are. And the fifth tension is transparency versus IP. How much do you reveal about how your AI models work for explainability, for trust, versus keeping the inner workings as proprietary intellectual property?
Yeah, those are definitely not easy calls.
No. And the guide advises keeping a decision log for these trade-offs, documenting the context, the options looked at, the why behind the final decision. It gives valuable context for future leaders when things inevitably change.
That's a really practical tip. It acknowledges these aren't simple yes/no answers, and the right choice might evolve, gives leaders a framework for thinking through it all.
And AI isn't just about making current processes better. The blueprint really highlights how it can fundamentally change a company's business model, open up totally new revenue streams.
Right. How does AI enable different ways of making money?
It lists several proven patterns. One is the classic subscription SaaS model, but powered by AI features the ongoing AI value drives that predictable recurring revenue. Another is data as a service.
Oh, okay.
If a company has unique, valuable data, they can monetize it by offering access, usually via APIs.
So if you have unique data, you can literally turn it into a product itself.
Exactly. Then there's outcome-based contracts. This one's fascinating. You don't sell the AI tool, you sell the result.
How does that work?
The client only pays based on verified improvements in a specific KPI that the AI delivered, like guaranteed energy savings or fewer manufacturing defects.
Wow, that feels like a very direct way to align value and risk.
It is. It shifts the risk. And finally, the marketplace platform model. Using AI to connect buyers and sellers, orchestrate transactions, and take a cut the take rate fee.
Like an Airbnb or Uber, but maybe using AI for better matching, dynamic pricing, that sort of thing.
Precisely. Now, before scaling any of these, the guide has a crucial checklist. You need clear unit economics. Make sure your cost to acquire a customer seat is less than the lifetime value LTV they bring.
Basic business sense, but applied to the AI service.
Right. You also need to find stickiness. Often this comes from data network effects. The more people use it, the more data you get, the better the AI becomes, making the service harder to leave.
So the product literally gets better with more users.
Exactly. And a solid compliance roadmap, thinking through data residency, privacy rules, all the legal stuff specific to how your AI uses data.
This section really broadens the view, doesn't it? AI isn't just a cost center, it can be a serious driver of new revenue. Completely different business models.
Now, of course, you can't talk AI today without hitting generative AI. The blueprint acknowledges that these large language models, diffusion models, they mean machines, can now create stuff, text, images, code, not just analyze.
This feels like such a huge rapid shift compared to those earlier species we talked about.
It is. And the guide focuses on high-impact use cases you can actually implement now. In marketing, think AI-drafted subject lines, ad copy, maybe even initial creative ideas, allows for incredibly fast A/B testing.
One-click A/B tests. That's a direct efficiency gain right there.
Definitely. For product development teams, Gen AI can create synthetic test data. This is huge.
Why?
It lets you generate realistic-looking data to test software and AI models, rigorously covering edge cases too, without using or exposing sensitive real customer data, like PII.
Ah, protecting privacy while enabling much better testing.
Exactly. In customer support, multilingual chat agents powered by Gen AI. They can offer 24/7 coverage, handle way more inquiries, keep a consistent brand voice.
Scaling support without just hiring more and more people.
Right. And in finance, narrative BI reports. This is Gen AI taking raw financial data and automatically drafting natural language explanations for variances, trends, key insights, instead of analysts writing those reports manually.
That sounds incredibly useful for speeding up reporting cycles.
These are tangible benefits available now, but with this creative power comes huge responsibility. The guide really stresses the necessary guardrails.
Okay, what kind of precautions do they recommend putting in place?
Absolutely essential. Things like retrieval augmented generation or RAGI. This is critical for factual grounding, meaning you connect the Gen AI model to your company's internal verified knowledge base. So it doesn't just make stuff up, hallucinate, but gives answers based on reliable internal data.
Okay, stops it from just inventing things.
Right. You also need prompt firewalls. These are systems designed to filter out harmful inputs, detect and block jailbreak attempts, people trying to trick the model, and stop sensitive data from accidentally getting fed in.
Like a security layer on the way in.
Exactly. And maintaining a human in the loop. For many uses, especially anything customer-facing or high stakes, you need a checkpoint. A human reviews, maybe edits the AI's output before it goes live. Don't just automate everything end to end right away.
That's a really important point. Balancing the automation with necessary oversight. This Gen AI section feels very practical, what's possible now, but also the crucial safety nets.
Another area where AI is already delivering just massive quantifiable value is supply chain optimization. The blueprint uses the analogy of a control tower.
A central point overseeing everything, like air traffic control.
Sort of, but an intelligent one. It shifts the supply chain from being reactive, dealing with disruptions after they hit, to being predictive and proactive, simulating tomorrow's potential problems today.
Okay, how does it do that? What are the core components?
Well, it starts with sophisticated demand sensing. This goes way beyond just looking at historical sales data. It ingests and analyzes diverse sources, point of sale data in real time, weather forecasts, holidays, local events, even social media buzz to get a much sharper, more granular demand prediction, maybe down to the specific SKU level.
Using all these external signals to refine the forecast.
Yes. Then there are digital twins, creating these virtual replicas of your factories, warehouses, transport networks. This lets companies run what-if simulations. Wargaming. What happens if this port closes? What if demand spikes 20% over here? You stress test the supply chain, find bottlenecks before they happen.
It's essentially practicing for disruption.
Precisely, and self-healing logistics models. If a disruption does happen, these AI models can analyze the situation and automatically propose or even execute alternative routes, carrier changes, inventory moves in minutes, far faster than humans could replan manually.
That sounds incredibly powerful for building resilience. Are there hard numbers tied to this?
Yeah, the guide gives some compelling stats. Things like 20-50% reduction in forecast error, over 10% gains in throughput from optimizing warehouse ops or routing, and a significant drop up to 65% in lost sales exposure just by smartly positioning inventory buffers based on predicted risks.
Those are huge impacts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense that optimizing something as complex as a global supply chain would be a prime area for AI.
Absolutely. But look, even with the best AI models, perfectly clean data, transformation just won't happen without the right people and the right culture. The blueprint really highlights this. AI tools change fast, but mindsets often lag behind. Closing that gap is crucial.
So it's not just about hiring PhD data scientists then?
Oh, far from it. It's about cultivating a broad skills portfolio across the existing workforce. This includes what they call citizen data science skills.
Meaning?
Empowering non-experts with basic abilities and tools like SQL, maybe some Python libraries, and definitely prompt engineering for interacting with Gen AI.
Getting more people comfortable using data and AI tools?
Right. It also includes vital softer skills, like storytelling with data teaching analysts how to translate technical findings into compelling narratives that business leaders actually understand and act on, and ethical literacy, equipping employees to spot potential bias in data or models and think about the broader impacts.
So skills that bridge the technical and the human side.
Exactly. The guide also suggests effective programs for building these skills. Things like micro-credentialing, short, focused training modules, build your first AI dashboard in a day, that kind of thing.
Making learning accessible, bite-sized.
Yeah. Rotation tracks pairing domain experts from the business with data scientists. They work together on a project. Invaluable knowledge exchange happens both ways. And gamified hackathons, where teams tackle real business problems using AI, and success is judged not just on tech elegance, but on potential business impact.
Shifting the focus to applied AI. It really sounds like the emphasis is on continuous learning and experimentation across the whole organization, not just in some central AI silo.
And as AI gets more embedded, dealing with governance, ethics, responsible AI, proactively, it's just non-negotiable. The blueprint really stresses. Embed these controls from the start. Don't try to bolt them on later when something goes wrong.
It feels like this is becoming a much bigger focus for companies now. And regulators, too.
It absolutely is. The guide lists specific measures organizations should put in place. Things like model cards.
What are those?
Documentation that goes with each deployed model. Details its purpose, data sources, performance metrics, known limitations, potential biases.
Providing transparency about the model itself.
Got it. Bias audits, automated checks run regularly to assess fairness, detect potential discrimination in the outputs. Algorithmic impact assessments, kind of like privacy impact assessments. But focused on reviewing the potential societal impacts of a new AI system before it goes live.
A more formal review process then.
Yeah. And having kill switches or easy rollback procedures. The ability to quickly disable or revert a model if it starts acting weirdly or harmfully in production.
A safety.
Exactly. They also recommend setting up an AI ethics council. Critically, with rotating business leaders on it, not just tech folks.
Ah, why is that important?
It ensures ethical discussions are grounded in real-world business context. and that trade-offs are transparently discussed across the organization, not just in a technical vacuum.
That's smart. Ensures these aren't just abstract technical decisions. It highlights that trust and responsible deployment are really fundamental for long-term AI success.
Of course, showing success with AI isn't just about launching models, it's about proving the value delivered. The blueprint gives some guidance on metrics that matter for tracking that ROI.
Okay, how do they suggest measuring success effectively?
They recommend tracking metrics across different layers and at different frequencies. So at the model layer, you're looking at real-time technical performance, precision, recall, AUC, probably on dashboards.
The health of the AI model itself.
Exactly. Then at the operations layer, maybe tracking things like mean time to insight, MTTI, or process cycle time improvements, perhaps weekly. For the business layer, you focus on the ultimate impact. Incremental revenue, cost savings, margin improvement, likely tracked quarterly or monthly.
Connecting the tech performance directly to the business outcome.
Yes. And specific functions will have their own metrics too. Supply chain might track on-time and full delivery rates monthly. And you can even track cultural metrics, like the percentage of the workforce trained in AI basics, maybe semi-annually.
It sounds like a really comprehensive approach, making sure you're measuring the right things at the right level.
And a great pro tip they share. Celebrate public wins within 30 days of deployment.
Oh!
Yeah. Showcase a successful pilot, show a deployed model's impact at an all hands or something. Publicizing even those small victories builds momentum, creates buzz, and makes it easier to ask for bigger investments later.
That's really practical advice. Show the results early and often to build that enthusiasm and buy-in.
Now, if this all sounds like, well, a pretty significant undertaking, the blueprint wraps up with a very practical starting point, a 90-day quick start roadmap. It's a phased approach designed to get you moving fast and show results quickly.
Okay, a clear action plan for the first 3 months. What are the key milestones in each phase?
All right, phase one is diagnosing, days 0 to 30. The absolute must-dos here are setting that North Star vision we talked about earlier, ranking maybe the top 5 potential use cases by value and feasibility, and getting a basic governance charter signed off, just laying the foundation.
Getting aligned, prioritizing. Makes sense.
Phase two is piloting, days 31 to 60. The goal here is a small, tangible win. Get one simple automation live, maybe an RPA bot. Run your top-ranked demand forecast model in that shadow mode alongside the human process to compare. And start triaging the data backlog based on those priority use cases.
Proving the concept with small, controlled steps. Testing the waters.
Exactly. Phase three is scale ready, days 61 to 90. By the end of 3 months, the aim is to have your core data environment, that lake house, maybe up in production and accessible, launch your Citizen AI Training Academy, and automate the dashboards for those key KPIs we just discussed.
So getting the basic infrastructure, training, and measurement in place quickly.
Yes. The core idea is that sequence. Align, pilot something small to prove it works, then get the necessary plumbing and skills in place to start scaling. Those small public wins build the muscle and the confidence for the bigger bets later.
That provides a really clear, actionable timeline. Getting started and showing momentum fast seems crucial for a transformation this big.
Definitely. Finally, the blueprint just briefly looks ahead, touching on some future trends to keep an eye on as the field keeps racing forward.
What are some hints about what might be next down the road?
Well, they mention exciting areas like highly specialized, domain-specific LLMs models trained just for, say, legal or medical techs, potentially outperforming the giant general ones for specific tasks. Quantum-optimized routing for tackling incredibly complex logistics problems that are just impossible today.
Yeah.
Green AI schedulers optimizing when compute jobs run to use more renewable energy. And even emerging synthetic data exchanges.
A marketplace just for AI training data.
Potentially, yeah. The point is, while getting today's fundamentals right is absolutely crucial, the AI journey is ongoing. Staying curious about these future capabilities is key because what seems like potential today might be tomorrow's necessity.
This deep dive has really given us a structured way to think about AI transformation, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Drawing directly from this practical blueprint that high-performing companies are using, it moves beyond just general ideas to concrete strategies, concrete steps.
Yeah, and the guide consistently frames this whole thing not just as a tech project, but as a fundamental shift in how businesses operate, how they sense the environment, learn from data, and then act decisively based on those learnings.
So considering that framework, this idea of using machines to sense, learn, and act at scale, how might you, listening right now, start applying that loop in your own area, even on a small scale, using data that's already available to you?